Self-care. It's such a deep, layered word, and for me, it's really become the process of getting to know yourself, showing up for yourself over and over again. In creation of the Self-Care Creature podcast, I want to teach you, too, how to have a relationship with yourself. We're going to dive into the psychological and physiological unfoldings of adopting what I love to call a self-care lifestyle. This podcast is here to help you, the stressed out but spiritually minded individual who can feel that wild calling in your heart, who wants to develop self-care rituals to support your daily living, give you the confidence and know-how to live through your intuition and raise your self-worth. You deserve it. You are capable of this. And I want to help you understand how the hell to get there, what it actually means, and how do you actually live it. That's where my intention is with this podcast. The Self-Care Creature Podcast, brought to you by me, your host, Courtney Klopp. Let's dive in. Hello, creatures, and happy new year. Can you believe that it's 2024? I feel like that's a stupid question that gets asked every single year. Can you believe? Can you believe it's this year? Can you believe it's been a year? No. The answer is always no. What is time? What is space? It doesn't exist. Here we are. We're just here. Don't even get me started on the fact that New Year's, which I have done no research around this specific day, but why is it this day at this time in our country, in the United States at least, and I mean many other cultures? And why is it a different new year, different days? That one's easier to answer. For me, I'm like, okay, we're in the smack dab of winter. We're not even in the smack dab of winter. Winter just started. And now we're going to call it New Year's. Like, it's just silly. But regardless, happy new year to you. I am feeling incredibly grateful for you to tune into this and listen and let my voice fill your ears. I haven't been recording in real time, so a little bit of this feels kind of vulnerable and also really fun to hop on and do a New Year's episode. In this episode, I'm going to recap what's up with 2023. If we dare look back and just move through some questions about, yeah, what the year brought up and how I'm moving forward. And I'm also going to share how I personally prepare for the new year and a season ahead. As you may know, in my life, I've gotten pretty far away from, at this point, really big, is accolade the right word? Like big goals and or announcements for what is to come or what I'm going to do. And it feels really freaking good, I just have to say personally, to feel like I've gotten off the like merry-go-round of diet culture and fitness goals and all of this kind of stuff. And it's taken me a long time to get to this place. It started with it's honestly New Year's intentions and resolutions started with the four pillars. That's how the four pillars of self-care were originally developed. The self-care creature pillars of self-care were originally developed back in the day. I'd have to really think about it to think about which year it was, but there was one year where I was like, okay, I know that I want to be hydrated more. I want to eat regularly. I want to move my body, but I don't want to set like these really hard goals around it because I was recognizing just how paralyzed I was becoming with like ticking off the boxes and just fitting into a box. I'm really good at that. What about living your life? And it's these questions that, you know, of course, flow into what is a self-care creature and the self-care creature lifestyle. But it was originally way back then when I decided to just hold on to these few things and carry them with me for a year that I really saw some transformations within my own life and my own perspective on lifestyle that I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting to have results or to feel joy and to come back to myself in the ways that I did when I let go of really specific goals around how I wanted to eat and or look. And guess maybe that's a surprise, maybe not, but that was how my journey went. So let's get into this first question that I have written up for this episode. Reflecting on 2023, as I think about my year, what is a significant moment or experience that surprised me, that taught me something new or changed my perspective? And so, reflecting on 2023, we're just going to dive straight into it. There were three main events that happened, and then, of course, a few smaller ones. And I just want to give a trigger warning for this episode. We are going to be discussing death and loss, depression, anxiety quite a bit, and other things around that realm. So just tread with caution and support yourself as needed as you listen. So the three big events that happened for me were that my mom ended up dying. My mom passed away in April. And I personally, I don't think it was as much of a shock to others as I just really was holding on to some deep hope that that wasn't what was going to happen. And it did. And in August, I'm so incredibly grateful that I had the experience of connecting with this spiritual community that my mentor connected me with. And I was able to do the first of a series of ceremonies that I've committed to for minimum, it's my understanding, at least the next 4 years. It's called the Warrior's Quest. And so in my mom passed in April, I got to go through this really beautiful, deep indigenous ceremony of the Lakota tradition. And those two events alone really just like rocked my world and changed my life. And then pretty immediately out of that ceremony in August, so just about at the same time, I experienced heartbreak from a lover for the first time in my life, which is really hard to admit and to say. And it makes me chuckle a little bit thinking of all the lovers I have had in my life. You got me. This one got me. And it's so I've spent the last few months processing all of this stuff. It's just been an accumulation, let alone there have been the loss of other friendships disintegrating. There has been other death in my family. There's the events at the world at large. There's just so much alive in the realm of grief and processing and hurt and pain, and I'll use the word trauma being something that disrupts your nervous system and causes it to respond in a different way, that is alive in the world at this time. I think I could confidently say that each of these experiences individually surprised me, taught me something new, and changed my perspective on life. Like, profoundly. Which is just interesting to sit with and to think about. The death of my mom, that certainly surprised me. The ceremony, I was surprised. I had no idea really what to expect. You hear things, but, you know, tradition is taught down through word of mouth, and then you go into the experience, it's like, whoa, okay, that's surprising. And then coming out the other side of that ceremony and getting my heart broken, and it wasn't just my heart broken, but I think what hurt the most in that situation was having somebody very close to me that I loved very dearly suddenly decide that I was not allowed to be in their life anymore. Whew, the heart-wrenching. But don't you worry, I've been processing and recording a series about it. So next Friday, I'm going to launch that series, the Heartbreak Healing Podcast series. Can I say series a little bit more? So you've got that coming your way if you want to know all about it. I never really go into the details, though. The details don't matter. For me, it's all about the processing. It's not so much like the why. It's our ego. It's our values. It's the wounding that gets caught up on like the deeper why. And I'm here in this life to want to be able to work through and to know how to integrate. And I'm just so fascinated by this mysterious thing called healing. The passing of my mother also taught me something new and changed my perspective. There will be an episode coming out on that at some point this year, and I'll answer those questions at that time. And of course, heartbreak also teaches me things and changes my perspective about things. It's been so hard to not just sink into old patterns and thoughts and things like that. It's been fascinating, actually, to work with. I'm excited to share the process with you. And of course, this ceremony that I got to be a part of taught me something new and absolutely shifted my perspective. I don't share a lot about my deeper spiritual journey, and I'll do an episode on that. I already made a note about it, but it's because I have come to spirituality with such skepticism that I want to make sure that the people I work with know that I am also an incredibly grounded person, and it's very important to me to remain part of the human plane. So it still is, I'll admit, feels awkward, and I have a lot of judgments still rolling around in my own mind when I hear myself talk about communing with ancestors and allies and great spirit. And it equally, I hear myself and think I sound like a woo-woo nut job, and I equally hear myself and know the journey that I've been on and that these things are true for me. And they're undeniably true at this point. And so I will just share, without going into further detail at this time, that the biggest shift in perspective that I received out of that ceremony was that I can trust spirit, that I know how to listen, and that it's not the woo-woo fluff stuff. And of course, there's plenty of that in the world too. Maybe in that other episode, I'll talk about why I don't even like the term woo-woo or fluff, but that's not what this episode is about. As a reminder, in the show notes, wherever you're listening to this episode, I do have a podcast feedback form where you are allowed to ask any questions that you want or even request topics that you want to hear about. So if you're like, have some light bulbs going off and you're like, oh, what? Feel free to hit that form up and drop your questions there. So those were the top three significant moments reflecting on 2023. The next question is about the evolution of myself. In the journey of this past year, how have I witnessed my own personal growth and evolution in my mindset, my habits, my overall well-being? And I gotta tell you, when your mom dies, you go through one of the most deeply profound spiritual experiences of your life, and you lose somebody else in your life. You get your heart broken, and you're not allowed to have that person in your life anymore. Like, it's gonna affect your personal growth and the evolution of your mindset, habits, and overall well-being. Holy shit. So what are some of those mindsets, habits, or overall well-being that I feel I experienced an evolution of within myself? I'll get into this answer a little bit more as we progress through this episode. The next question I'm going to touch on is around unseen challenges. But in short, I would say like the biggest evolution of myself, the biggest realization I had this year, and this is just off the cusp right now recording, so I have not admittedly sat with this a lot, but what's coming up in this question, in this moment, is life goes on, and that's really fucking hard and really fucking true. And life doesn't pause or stop for a fucking second. And I think that's where I just had a re-realization with myself that I have to be in and trust my own timing. And that's coming from a neurodivergent person. I choose to be unmedicated. Time is something that I struggle with severely. And it's a great joke. There's lots of jokes about it. We can laugh as much as we want about that. And it's really fucking true. And so knowing that I had to be at a standstill in a lot of different ways, preparing for ceremony, processing the passing of my mother, and being in this heartbreak and not having this person in my life anymore, it was a lot, and I had to give myself that permission to just be. And I am extremely grateful that I am in a supported place in my life from my grandma, especially, and from my community. And I was just able to take excess rest that I possibly couldn't have afforded otherwise. And it is just truly not lost on me how supported I am. And I am so immensely, immensely grateful for that. So the next question is, were there any challenges I faced in 2023 that were not immediately visible, and how did I navigate through them? So if we're starting with my mother's passing, there were a lot of challenges around that I did not see. The death itself, I'm pretty comfortable with death. Death is a teacher of mine. I've openly spoke about this often, and I have a lot of grieving tools. I've felt, as far as that process in and of itself, I've been in a really good place. But there were a lot of things that I did not see coming around that. There's a lot of things that happen around a death, especially when it's your parent that you have to deal with. I've been surrounded by death a lot in my life, but never so close that I had to be the one to make certain decisions, that I had to go help clean out closets and things of this nature. And I was not expecting that. I'll be going deeper into these details when the episode comes up around my mother's death in future episodes. But I'll also just say that something else that was not immediately visible to me that I didn't realize is just how much rage my body holds for our healthcare system. It took me probably about 4 or 5 months of my mother being hospitalized before I realized, like, oh, I've actually done a lot of deep, solid work around my mother and I. What is really fucking traumatizing me right now is having to go to the hospital constantly. Our healthcare system is a sick care management system, as you may have heard that phrase before, and it just drives me up the wall. And it is literally exhausting the amount of advocacy that you have to do for your loved ones in the hospital. That's all I will say about that at this time. Of course, there were other unforeseen or not immediately visible challenges. And I think the biggest one was with this heartbreak that happened. And it's interesting how it basically happened at the exact same time that I was exiting out of this ceremony. And so the two are very deeply, intricately interwoven for me. I will vulnerably share, after those incidents in August, by the end of August, I truly found myself at a place that I never want to find myself again. I was just pushed back into this place within myself that really scared me. I went on a camping trip with some friends, and I had started smoking weed again at that point, and I just was not there, basically, the entire time. And that does not feel good to admit or to think about, but I refuse to allow my shame and my guilt and my fear to keep me hiding in the shadows, because I know that's where those kinds of things grow. And there's nothing to be ashamed of here. It's completely normal in life to have big things happen to you, to have it fuck up your nervous system, and to have it spiral you into a place that you don't want to be. And I think that was a huge unforeseen challenge that wasn't necessarily immediately visible to me. And by the time September 1st came around, not exactly September 1st, I think it was more after my mom's memorial, so a little later into September, that I was like, I've got to make these changes. And they were so uncomfortable. But you know, as cheesy as it sounds, I'm going to just do a shameless plug. It really was me coming back to the basis of this lifestyle and this business that I've created. And this is why I've created it, is so that when people, perhaps yourself, you find yourself in a place where you're just like, I am fucking struggling, I do not know how to go on, that you can find it within yourself and within your life to start piecing things back together. When this question asks, how did I navigate through these unforeseen circumstances? That truly is how I did it. I leaned back into the foundation of self-care that I had created. I looked at the self-care pillars. I'm experienced enough in this lifestyle at this time to know what I need to do for my basic needs to be able to help myself function. I knew that I had to go about it in a profoundly gentle and compassionate way, like I was taking care of a little baby, especially realizing just how deeply triggering all of this stuff was for my inner child. I've been doing a lot of deep work over the last couple years with different pieces of myself, reparenting and working with my inner child. And it's actually some deeply profound work that I never heard of growing up. I feel like it's somewhat new language, perhaps, or maybe just for me as an adult, but I'm thinking maybe in the collective also. And it's through somatics, through somatic therapy work that has really allowed me to tap into these different pieces of myself, understand them better, feel into them, and actually learn how to take care of myself in a different way. Of course, the basis of the self-care pillars were a really great foundation and start. And as I'm always saying, supplement with other professionals and modalities, and therapy goes really hand in hand with this lifestyle. Next question is, what is something positive or joyful that you discovered about yourself during 2023? You've got to know I love this question. I can't help it. It's built into my DNA. I just tend to be a positive outlook type person. And that hasn't always been a great thing. And I've had to learn how to also be helpful and to, you know, be in the pain and the hard. But I love focusing on the positive and the good things, of course. And so I will say that regardless of these really intense three events, big events that happened in my life over 2023, that I feel more like myself than I ever have been. And of course, that's ever changing and often true in different ways, shapes, and forms. But I just, these experiences this year sincerely up-leveled me to a different person. And I really feel like I'm able to see myself in ways that I didn't before. And I feel really positive and joyful about that specifically. I'm excited to be me and to know how much work and hardship has gone into my own life and creating and cultivating my own happiness, and to make sure that I give myself permission to be joyful and to be in that, and that it's okay. It's okay to be an upbeat person in a really sad world. And it's okay to be an upbeat person when you've had some really sad things happen in your life. And we have to also learn how to be in that pain. You know, it's, again, the both and the making sure that we're not bypassing and just looking past it. And in order to do that, I think it comes for me personally with giving myself permission to live in the duality of it all and to be with the grief and the sorrow and the pain as it comes up, and to continue to turn towards it as I need to, and to also allow myself to still live in the joyful moments of the day to day. as they continue to flow. Something I'm personally working on at this time is to allow myself to feel more neutral, that I don't have to be happy all of the time, and I don't also have to be sad by any means, that there is a neutral space on the spectrum of human emotion, and I am giving myself permission to be in that space more. And that feels good and new and challenging as well. A couple other joyful discoveries, along with, you know, feeling more like myself, that comes with also feeling like I've found my voice. I really do feel capable of communicating, and I faced some really fucking hard things this year. Even outside of these three things that I've mentioned, like business things are always challenging. Just the day-to-day conversations that we have to have in our regular relationships and friendships to keep up, family stuff, all of it. And I just feel really proud of myself for being able to find my voice and being able to face conflict. And it's something that still makes me uncomfortable and that I'm still learning about. I'm a very avoidant person when it comes to confrontation and conflict, and I don't want to be that person anymore. And I'm slowly learning how to not be. And I trust myself in that process. And I think that's really amazing. And I feel excited about that. Through these processes also, particularly around the heartbreak, I've learned boundaries. I'm still learning boundaries, but personal boundaries and understanding what that is for myself and setting them and upholding them. And that's pretty magical. It's so bittersweet that I apparently couldn't get quite the boundary lesson without having my heart broken, but you know, that's just how life goes sometimes. We have to accumulate these experiences in order to be able to actually understand what they mean. And that's not always going to be rainbows and butterflies when you're a human being, that's for sure. And I'll say something, one of the joyful discoveries that also comes with a tangy twist is being in a mindful recovery journey, finding that language for myself. When I shared that I found myself back at the end of summer in a place that I did not want to be, I made a lot of commitments to myself at that time. I wrote a lot of letters and all of these things that I'll share in the heartbreak healing process episodes that are upcoming. But more than that, I started going to smart recovery meetings about once a month. And these meetings have really given me a lot of insight and a new language that feels really resonant with where I'm at in my life. Even just to say I'm on a mindful recovery journey, that I'm working to be a sober person in my life after I've spent most of my life thus far consuming cannabis. And I've never ever resonated with actually calling myself an addict or anything like this, although it's said, people would say that alcoholism runs in my family. That's something that both my grandparents have said that would be true for both of my parents. I know that it is very true within myself that I have addictive tendencies, and these meetings, although short and sweet and far and few in between at this time because that's just the way I'm approaching it, they feel very supportive for the insights and the language that they've been giving me. So if you find that you are in a place where something like that maybe sounds supportive or intriguing, feel free to check it out. I'll make sure to include a link in the show notes. You can also head back to episode 16 and listen to the full episode on mindful recovery with Paige Sparks and Madison Reed. It's an excellent listen. As I look back over this year, next question, what insights or lessons from 2023 will I be carrying with me into 2024? And do I have any specific intentions for the future based on these reflections? Well, first of all, the insights and lessons from 2023 that I will carry with me, I think are largely all those things that I just mentioned. finding my voice, feeling good about who I am, having boundaries, being in mindful recovery, and just continuing to show up and support myself in this lifestyle, creating stability and resiliency within my own nervous system. That really is my big goal at this time in my life and what I will continue to take into the future. My specific intentions continue to be around relationships and financials. These are two things that I have been working with very closely for the last few years, and I'm continuously blown away at the way they are so intricately connected, surprising enough. But those are my biggest focuses. I want to make sure that I am learning more about myself and even what I learned about being in relationship as a kid so that I can continue to have different and better relationships as I move forward in life. And that includes professional, that includes intimate, that includes friendships and family and all of the aspects that relationship entails. And with that, continuing to move forward with my business. I feel really excited about the places that I'm at and the things that I have continued to cultivate. And that is in large part thanks to listeners and supporters like you. Seriously, you. So thank you very much for being here once again and just being a part of the journey. It means a lot to me. Lastly, I want to share a little bit about how I prepare for the new year or a season ahead. Honestly, my birthday is in March, and so typically the new year for me is like, okay, it's a good check-in point. It's also just the winter solstice just happened, so we're here entering winter. It's the last season for me before I celebrate my new year. I celebrate new year with my birthday. That's when you're looking at your tarot growth cards and life cards. It all centers around your birthday, and when I started learning those things, it just made sense to me. I'm like, heck yeah, birthday. I love celebrating my life and the lives of others. So I'm like super into birthdays. That's the one holiday I feel like is actually a holiday and worth celebrating. So I use this time personally as a check-in point to just ask myself what I need. What kind of things do I want to wrap up before the year ends, and all things like this. I do usually set myself up with a handful of words that I like to carry with me through the entire year, and I will typically set these for myself at the new year, right about now. And I'm still playing around with what those words are. But for 2024, at least, but I will share what my words from 2023 were. I use the words reclaim, reclaiming myself, and how fun and sweet that I shared that I felt that way in my joyful discovery, coming back to myself, being more of myself than I ever have before. Discernment or discerning, discern was the second word. And there's been a lot of really deep, challenging discernment that has come up in my life over this year. Discipline was the third word that I've been carrying with me through 2023. And that one actually surprised me because I first hear discipline and it's not a happy or like it doesn't have a good connotation with it in my mind personally. But I've come to realize that discipline is the glue that holds me together to be able to live the silly, fun, happy, carefree life that I love living. Discipline is where my foundation of self-care grows. It's where my well-being takes root. It's where my stability is. So I've actually come to really love this whole idea of discipline, if you will, and just thinking about it in a different way. Structure, essentially, discipline, structure. And it's been really amazing to allow myself to just lightly fit into that and find my way to it without, again, being so rigid in structure and routine. The last word is play. And that's a word I almost want to take with me into 2024. I think I'm going to embody it in different ways. And as I've been reflecting on this word, I think I need to give myself more credit than I've been able to about my playfulness and my ability to play. And I definitely love the intention of reminding myself, keep doing that, keep moving with that in your life. But I also just have to say, I am a very playful person, and I have allowed myself to come back to that in a lot of big ways this year. And I've had a lot of help coming back to that in some really big ways this year, including from the person that broke my heart. That's something that I'm very grateful for them. They were very, very playful and always brought a lot of joy. My mother was also an incredibly playful and silly woman, and that's probably where I get most of mine, coupled with being raised by my grandma. So, yeah, where was I? Lost my train of thought getting all mushy in those thoughts. Yes. So those were the four words that I carried with me. And if you are interested in finding your own four words, or you just want to be a part of a self-care check-in space, I want to invite you this Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. online via Zoom. And first Thursday of every month, I host a creature calibration circle. This is kind of like a mocktail lounge vibes. Get a cozy beverage, essentially, and pull up. But it's just a place for you to check in on your self-care and well-being. And it's essentially a peer support group that I lead. And we focus on one of the four pillars of self-care through the self-care creature lens. And we usually have some sort of focus that's going on. This month will be, of course, the new year and our words and just a lot of reflection. And we engage in usually some grounding, meditation, deep breaths, discussions, set some light goals for the month ahead, because this is something that I host on a monthly basis. So feel free to check that out. I'll make sure that is also in the show notes, and you can always ask questions as they arise. Along with those words to prepare for a season ahead, I'm also doing the season ahead spread from the Kim Kranz archetype deck. And that is something I've been doing with myself for many years and with clients for a couple of years now. So if you have that deck, it's the spread that is created for that deck specifically. But if you want some professional insight or guidance with the cards, I would be happy to facilitate a reading of that sort with you. You are welcome to schedule a session with me online. And I'm also seeing clients in person at the Bow Sanctuary now here in Skagit Valley on Mondays and Wednesdays with limited availability, but feel free to check and reach out. I would love, love, love to have a session with you. I was just had my first session in person at the Bow Sanctuary a couple weeks ago at the end of December before Christmas, and it just felt so delicious. I'm going to use the word delicious to just be in that space. It's so calming and relaxing, and it's just, I really do love in-person sessions, but I work with clients from all over the world through online sessions, so don't let it hold you back if we're not in the same space. That is essentially the episode for today. I do have a few more announcements, so I'm just going to keep rolling with it. I am really excited to launch my first group experience / program since 2020, I think was the last time. So it's been about 4 years since I have run a live group program, and it's going to be with my revamped Well Self course. And the format that I want to try out this year with this live cohort, so to speak, is on a weekly basis. So it is online. When you sign up, you get access to the Well Self course. The Well Self course is my signature foundational course for building your own self-care. And you get access to the course, lifetime access with all updates and future updates. So you're just in with the course when you buy. And then the cohort, the live experience, will happen on a weekly basis is my intention. So we'll meet every Saturday morning for about an hour for 13 weeks. It ends up being 13 because we're going to take off a weekend in the middle of March. And yeah, it just a nice little touch-in point. There are a lot of practical practices within the course. And so as a participant, you get a vote on which practice you want to go through and move through in a group setting. And I've designed the course this way because you can go and read and watch the material all you want. And I feel like we do that a lot in our lives. We consume and we learn information. But when are you slowing down and actually putting into practice these practices, integrating these different things into your own life? And I just know that it can be really challenging to find space for that. And so I want to create a safe enough space to process and to learn about ourselves in a community container. This format is how I have been taking courses online with various teachers over the last couple years, and it's been extremely just eye-opening to me. It was like it helped me to feel connection in an online setting for the first time possibly than I had really ever fully been able to, and so I hope to be able to bring that to my students. So if you want to join, if you have questions, feel free to check that out. I'll be sure to include that in the link as well, or the show notes below, wherever you may be listening on. We are beginning that on Saturday, January 20th, so you still have some time to check it out, to think about it, and to sign up if that's what you want to do. You can check out our other courses and the SCC membership on the Self Care Creature website, selfcarecreature.com. We have 5 courses in total, and the membership has taken a little bit of a different format. It is now a monthly rolling membership, and it's $24 a month to have access to absolutely everything. You're also welcome to sign up for SCC emails that will give you some self-care tips every other week automatically with a real-time update from me and what's going on in my life about once a month. So remember, in the show notes here also, you can fill out the podcast feedback form if you have questions, if you have suggestions. The next episodes to come, I can't guarantee that I'm going to be posting episodes every single Friday in the new year, but I am going to be posting next Friday, and when I do a series, continue it out. So for the next few Fridays, every Friday, there will be a new episode because the Healing from Heartbreak series is about 3 or 4 parts long. So I hope that you enjoy that. Please consider leaving a review. Spotify is preferred. I guess reviews are important for podcasts. I still am not entirely sure how it works, but I greatly appreciate your support, and I really appreciate you being here listening, as I've already said. And most of all, I'm going to get serious for a moment here with you. Sincere thanks for taking care of you, because our world really needs that. Catch you soon, creatures!